This is episode 89. It's called Epilepsy Imposter.
There she is. There's our girl. She's currently sitting behind me watching something on her computer with her headphones on, so she can't hear me, but I can see her, which is what we're doing right now. I cannot take my eye off this child for even a nanosecond. So I'm going to record this real quick, and then I'm going to go make our lunch. So this episode is called Epilepsy Imposter. What is that? Well, I'm going to tell you in a second, though, because this episode was supposed to be the topic was going to be about language, and then I was going to give a very specific example of how I felt like I needed to defend my use of the word disabled, yada, 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 you know how it is, ableism, etc. But I was interrupted when I was recording this episode about that topic last week, and but this is what happens when you leave recording to the very, very last minute, you know, you get what you get. So this episode was going to be about language again, because I have talked about it before. Specifically, I cannot say that word. I did a TV segment one time and I had to say the word specifically, and it was live television, and it was an absolute nightmare. That word is very traumatizing to me. Anyway, I have talked specifically about modern day disability language before, but I figured that it was maybe time to talk about it again. Then life happened, and then I just kiboshed the episode just for now. And so here we are a week later, and I want to talk about something else, something that is more timely and pretty distressing, if I'm honest. But I have shared a few tiny glimpses of this on social media, but I haven't come out and shared totally because honestly, it just feels like too much. And also, I'm really freaking tired. So, but I'm ready to talk about it right now. So this episode is called Epilepsy Imposter, same thing. And I'm going to explain what that is. Well, my interpretation of something that may not even be a thing, but I think it is, even if nobody has talked about it. So let's talk about it now in the context of what my family has been experiencing over the past few weeks. So let's go.
Hey everyone, it's a very bright life.
It sure is. Your life is so bright.
I gotta wear shades.
We are so happy that you're here with us.
Let's do this thing.
So I thought maybe I'd start off with a teeny tiny seizure history. So what are seizures? What is epilepsy? Pretty sure you already know. We've done several episodes about that. There are different kinds of seizures, and Avery's had a couple of different kinds. She started out in early days when she was about 3 with really bad, bad ones. Although I did see a meme the other day on Instagram, and it was something like, there's no such thing as a bad seizure because no seizure is a good seizure. I get it. But this particular one she just had recently, it felt bad. It felt really bad because it was, I want to use the word violent, and it was really scary. And it was also a bad seizure because it burst our confident, safe little bubble that we've created over the years since her, you know, early day bad ones. And we kind of got to a place where we were like, I don't know, I felt pretty safe that she was sort of not out of it, because every year she has an EEG that shows surely that there is funky electrical stuff happening in her brain, but her meds and everything kind of kept everything under control. So I don't even know what to say about this. So she had this medical procedure done at SickKids a couple days prior, and my concern about having this done was that the progestin in the mechanism could trigger seizures, and they assured me that nope, this wasn't going to happen. It was going to be fine. Cool. So flash forward a couple days after, and she was at school, and her teacher phoned me when, ironically, I was actually at the hospital visiting my father-in-law because he had been admitted to hospital and I had missed the call. So I came out and got into the car and I saw that I had a missed call. And of course I checked my voicemail and had a mini flip out because it was the school saying, we think you need to come get Avery. She's just not looking very good, and some other things. So I went and picked her up, brought her home, and I just, you know, your mom gut. I'm like, there's just something not normal. And it's not COVID. It's not, I don't even know what else it could be. It's not a cold. It's not the flu. She's just feeling just off. And so she slept with me. And thank goodness, because at 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I just heard a noise that I can't even describe. It was just her gasping and snorting and trying to get air, and the bed was shaking, and we have new blackout blinds. So my room is like pitch black. So I couldn't see. So I put my arm over her chest and I could just feel her whole body, convulsing. And, so funny enough, I had just done a podcast episode and a blog post about seizure protocol and your seizure action plan and what to do. And I was like, during a seizure, it's very important to remain calm. Guess what? I did not remain calm. I freaked the hell out and I screamed. My poor husband is sleeping down in my son's vacant bedroom because he's letting Avery have his spot. And so I scream, Adrian, the poor man. So he comes flying down the hallway and he walked in and I said, she's having a seizure. And so he went to her side. I ran downstairs to get my phone because I'm trying to be all good about keeping my phone, you know, downstairs and not beside my bed. And I ran to get my phone and to get her rescue meds. By the time I came back upstairs, she was just coming out of it and was a bit bewildered. And of course, in typical Avery style, she apologized. I'm so sorry for scaring you guys. And, my husband was checking her out and she wasn't able to make a fist with her right hand because she had a partial seizure, which means it's coming from the left side of your brain, which affects the right side of your body. And so her arm was numb, and that's happened before. So we don't know what caused it. I talked to her neurologist, well, her neurologist's nurse, and I talked to the team at Sick Kids and even her family doctor, and everyone said it's not from the IUD, it's something else, but we don't know what. And her neurologist said probably just a breakthrough seizure, which they happen, but they just haven't happened for so long. It's actually been, when this happened, it was actually 1 year since her last seizure, and it was a small one. I'm doing air quotes. It was a small one. It was just an absent seizure and she just kind of tipped over but I don't know why it happened. So why did it happen? Don't know. Will it happen again? Maybe. Was our collective, my husband and I and my son's PTSD triggered? Yes, it was. And the most disturbing part is that Avery, who is our, hold on one second. Oh my goodness. Get it together, girl. Avery, who is our super confident, I'm not afraid of anything, you know, just vivacious kid, suddenly I could see it affecting her. She suddenly became nervous and just apprehensive. So she's continuing to sleep with me. And normally she doesn't want to. She wants to sleep in her own space with her own stuff in her own room, her big kid room and everything, and understandable. And so she's quite happy. She's moved all her stuff in, all her stuffies, her pillow, all her special things are moved in to our room. And I went to sleep with her the other day. We don't sleep in the day. I can't sleep in the day. I try, but I can't. Napping doesn't happen. I tried to go to the bathroom to brush my teeth. And she was like, you're coming right back though, right? You're coming right back. And I said, of course I am. And then I got into bed and then I remembered that I needed to go downstairs and let the dog out. So I got out of bed. She's like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to let the dog out. I'll be right back. And she's like, okay, I'll be here waiting. And it just breaks my heart because we just got into this place where, I don't know, I just thought it was easy. It was easy street, baby. And so she was doing sleepovers and going to people's houses for the whole day. And I didn't even bat an eye. I was dropping her off at programs. Usually I would stay close. And I was dropping her off and like a cheer and stuff and going elsewhere. And no, sleepovers are on hold again. And I mean, it's a lot to put on another family. If, you know, Avery were to have a significant seizure under their care, like that's not cool. So We're having sleepovers, but they're just at our house so that I can keep an eye on the girl. I just feel like her independence is restricted again, and it's just limited in ways that I don't think are very fair, but necessary. And so where does epilepsy and posture come in? Well, I felt like the past couple of years, like a bit of a poser, you know, talking about epilepsy and talking about seizures and safety protocol and just things like that, because we have been in this really great place of, yes, she has epilepsy, but it doesn't affect us at all, you know? And so Avery has really good friends who have seizures every day. And here I am complaining about one seizure, and I feel like a bit of a wuss. It's just this shattering of your confidence that you can't protect your kid from something so devastating. And I mean, I could look at the positive in that back in the day when she was little and she had these seizures, they would progress from a simple partial seizure or a focal seizure to like a full-on status epilepticus seizure, and we'd have to give rescue meds, and then they wouldn't work, and then we'd have to call an ambulance, and it was just a whole thing, and she would end up in the hospital. Well, this didn't happen this time. We were really lucky. I think this was scary because it was so unexpected, but she did come out of it on her own, and it was maybe 3 to 5 minutes. Maybe, I don't know how long I was asleep before her movement and noise woke me up, so maybe it was a couple minutes. I don't know. But the fact remains, she's okay. And we're not epilepsy imposters. The EEGs have showed she has significant, I guess the word is moderate, seizure activity in her brain all the time. And we are just one of those lucky people who have a cocktail of meds that work effectively. And so maybe she's outgrowing the meds. They've increased the dosage in light of what happened. So that's good. And I guess the final thing I just wanted to say was that you always have to trust your gut, whether it's your mom gut or your dad gut or your family member gut, because if you think that there's something going on with the person that you love, there probably is. So currently she's, like I said, she's home with me and I'm watching her like a hack, which she finds equally comforting and also super annoying. Like, for example, okay, just listen to this. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it. I'm the mama bird and she's the baby bird. And so I need to know that she's okay. So she's just gone down the hall for a second. So this is what I do. Watch this. I mean, you can't watch it, but you can listen. Caca! Caca!
Sound good?
You're good. So I call out to her. Instead of saying, Avery, are you doing okay? Are you all right? You're kind of quiet. Is everything all right? If she's in a different room, I bird call and she bird calls back. It's the same principle, but it's just a bit more enjoyable. So we're doing that. Anywho, she's home with me and she's had a series of like urine tests and blood tests and all that fun stuff. And they did come back with some questionable things. And so I don't know if they're indicators of something that maybe is why her body was under so much stress and it resulted in a seizure. But regardless, there is something medically going on with this kiddo. And so we're figuring it out. And that's a whole other ball of wax because she's 17 and a half. And so she's leaving this family of practitioners who have taken care of her since she was little. And two have retired, two of her biggest advocates. We don't even know the new ones. I don't know. There's nobody that I can just pick up the phone and talk to the nurse who I know by first name basis and just kind of figure things out. And we have a requisition into SickKids to have a multidisciplinary team investigate what's going on with her. And they came back and said, sorry, by the time she is seen by us, it'll be at least a year and she'll have aged out because the wait to see this team at SickKids is 8 months to a year. So that's not ideal. Anyhow, so I'm over here with my advocate hat on, reading medical abstracts and Googling the snot out of everything back to where we started, you know? Actually, you know what? Let's scratch that. We have not gone back to where we've started. We have come a long way. We have come a long way, baby. And a lot of that is directly related to the connections we've made with other parents, other disability parents or families raising kids with complex medical needs and developmental disabilities. Holy, that was a mouthful. You know what I mean? I feel like this community, above just the the general umbrella of the parenting community, which is just anyone who's a parent, the disability parent community is, it's unlike any other. People are so willing to jump in and offer advice. Like, I can post something in one of my plethora of parenting, disability parenting groups, asking a question, and within minutes, moms and dads and caregivers will jump in and offer advice, which is, seriously, how wonderful is that? So yeah, we'll figure it out. And I just wanted to share this whole situation with you because I know I'm not alone. I feel like I'm an imposter in many areas of my life. But this whole epilepsy imposter thing, yeah, that's ridiculous. Avery has a diagnosis of epilepsy, and just because her seizures are under control, it doesn't make it any less nerve-wracking. But I do also acknowledge that there are families in our inner circle whose experience currently is, it's much more taxing. They have to deal with multiple seizures daily and their effects, and it's difficult. Actually, I posted something on social media the other day, stole someone's meme, and they put, one of the most difficult parts of epilepsy, although there are many tricky bits, as a parent or someone caring for somebody with epilepsy, is having to remain hypervigilant all the time. And I'm taking that very literally because I am watching this child, like, probably excessively. I just don't want to miss it. You know, I want to be there if something happens, obviously, because this is so fresh. But funny but not funny, Avery, as I said, sleeps in my bed. My poor husband has been kicked out, and he's like, I'm really missing our new duvet. It's delightful, I'm not going to lie. So Avery, yeah, sleeps with me every night, and she's either super loud, she makes quite a racket with her sleep apnea and her snoring, or she's absolutely silent, and I find that really unnerving. So I wake up multiple times in the night, and I'll just kind of like listen. And I either hear her snoring, and that's great, and I go back to sleep, or I hear nothing. So I will kind of reach over and just touch her to see how she feels. Is she nice and warm and whatever? And then if she's completely still, I'll give her like a little shake on her shoulder. Well, the other night I gave her a little shake and there was nothing. So I freaked. I grabbed her firmly with both hands and shook her really hard and woke her up. And she's like, what are you doing? Oh, so this is not a long-term solution. I get that. So we will figure it out. I just wanted to share this today, though, because, well, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not the only one in this position, obviously. And I feel like if I share this, you won't feel as alone. And you also might have some advice and suggestions if you've been in this situation. And just a final note to say, you're not an imposter. Even when your child's disease or disability is in a gentle place, in a quiet season, like those moments in between seizures where you're kind of feeling calm and safe, but also there's always that underlying concern waiting for that other shoe to drop, you know? Anyway, that's all I have today. So Avery is back and she has a joke, and I will tell you that one of the words in the joke was sucking, and she refused to say that word, so we changed it to licking, just to keep it, you know, Avery friendly. Okay, thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next time, and here's Avery.
What do you call a cat licking a lemon? A sourpuss.
Thanks for listening.
Your support means so much to us, so thank you for sharing the podcast and for cheering us on. It is amazing to see this bright, beautiful community growing in this way. If you have a question, an episode suggestion, or you just want to say hello, we would love to hear from you. So reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Or you can show off your techie prowess by leaving us an audio message by clicking the message button on the Spotify for Podcasters homepage. That link is in the show notes and on the podcast page on the A Very Bright Life website. website. If you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. More positive comments and 5-star reviews nudge the algorithm to deliver this content to more ears. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you again soon.